This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. River, bump me up just a little bit. Go ahead and kick it up a notch. Bam! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe down a little bit there. There we go. All right, that's good. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm fired up, focused, and prepared. We have a monster show incoming this afternoon as we are jam-packed and ready to roll today. Coming up here in just a few moments, Rusty Enzer, VFL baseball expert, joins us as we get ready for Tennessee back in Omaha. Your College World Series, Rusty's going to help us break it down coming up in 15 minutes. Then, in hour number two of the show today, the great, the one and only Bobby Mays is on the show today. We'll be talking Tennessee basketball with him. And, of course, Bobby was famously cited by ESPN cameras at Lindsey Nelson Stadium over the weekend. He's got Tennessee baseball fever. We'll get his thoughts on Tony Vitello and how he compares to his old basketball coach at Tennessee back in the day, one Bruce Pearl. And then, speaking of Tony Vitello, coming up in hour number three, 5:20 to be precise, on the show today, the man of the moment, Sir Anthony of House Vitello, will join the show live from Omaha. Oh, my God. Bear, I couldn't be more excited.
I'm tingling in anticipation, Russell.
How could you not be?
I've got butterflies. Feels like the first day of summer, Christmas morning, and the last day of school all rolled up into one.
What a way to end the week here on The Drive, man. We've got Rick Butler here with us. We've got River Bailey helping out as we are getting things rolling here on a beautiful Friday afternoon in East Tennessee, on a day when Tony Vitello was named National Coach of the Year by the National College Baseball Writers Association. National Coach of the Year, Bear.
Are you serious?
Hello.
Dave Van Horn can have his little SEC Coach of the Year award.
What would that idiot call him, a DVH?
He can have the side of fries. We're taking the hamburger. That's where we're at here in Big Orange Country.
I feel like he took a porterhouse steak, just took it, put it on his plate, and he's digging in now.
DVH can have the baked potato, but he will have no butter and no sour cream. Tony Vitello's taking the steak, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boys, how are we feeling here as we are, 48 hours away? 48 hours from now, we'll be in probably the fourth, fifth inning, something like that.
Yeah.
In the thick of it with Virginia on a day when highs are expected to reach 97 degrees in Omaha. Yeah.
Hey, I am feeling so great. It is a Friday. We got a great Father's Day weekend coming up. We're going to be playing some baseball. And I got to say, today might be reserved in the upper echelon in the history of The Drive shows with the guests that we have lined up. It's going to be a great day.
Should be an absolutely fantastic afternoon here on the show. If you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200, your number. Lots of guests. You have to pick and choose your moments to jump on with us, 546-8200. We'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. We're watching England and Scotland in the Euros in studio this afternoon. It's like Braveheart all over again. William Wallace leading the Scots for their freedom against Longshanks and the English. You don't have to worry about it, Bear. I know Braveheart's on the list of awesome things you hate.
But I don't hate it. You just don't need to watch it more than once.
No. You're wrong. We're not going to go down this, Sam.
Does anybody have a blade on them?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Can't
find
that
in the tool shed.
We've got the U.S. Open going as well. The golf is happening again. I don't know if anybody is like me, staying up late, watching that thing. We always see those guys come out of nowhere. Louis Oosthuizen got out there and put together a good round. So right now, go pull
Dude
up the leaderboard for you
grill.
Here. Excuse me?
The guy needs to fix his grill.
Who, Oosthuizen?
Yeah.
What's wrong with his grill?
Just look it up.
Messed up teeth?
Like, think like...
Needs a visit to Knoxville
British,
Smiles? And
Oh. That may be his only hope would be Dr. Malone and company down there at Knox Smiles, Dr. Costa.
Mm. Big day for England. Richard Bland, your leader in the clubhouse. He shoots a 4-under-67 today, 5-under for the tournament, and he sits atop the leaderboard, one shot ahead of Russell Henley, who is getting set to tee off his second round. He's 4-under. Oosthuizen, Molinari, Cabrera-Bello, all tied at 3-under. There's Hadji's guy.
Oh, I saw Shoffley. I thought about Hadji last night when they showed the leaderboard.
Well, both his guys, Rahm and Shoffley, 2-under. Brooks Koepka, 2-under. He tees off here in about an hour. So some big names up there. Bubba is at 1-under.
Really?
Yeah, he's in there fighting and swinging.
What about Rick's boy, Bryson DeChambeau?
He can't remember how he did. He struggled. He's 1-over.
Yeah, did not have a strong showing. I guess yesterday afternoon he was one of the late guys.
Hate that for him.
Do you?
No. Can't stand DeChambeau.
So we got a full sports weekend, man. I mean, we got this is one of those summer sports weekends. I hope none
they
of
don't
y'all got
that often.
Yeah, I hope none of y'all got to mow the grass or do a bunch of honeydews chores outside or anything. Because I mean, we got a game 7 tomorrow,
right?
In the NBA, we've got the Open going on. We've got the College World Series happening. We've got a big recruiting weekend for the Volunteers. Addison Nichols on his visit. Karan Prunty, the defensive back transfer from Kansas, is visiting this weekend. So there's a lot going on here this afternoon.
One more even coming up this Sunday night, which I know actually a good portion of our fan base will be tuned into. This is one of the great ones. I think there's maybe two or three that anybody can get into. Hell in the Cell coming up this Sunday night.
I mean, you'll never top Taker versus Mankind.
No, but it's always fun to see them.
Just a poor imitation. What would see those guys try and top the greatest wrestling match there ever was?
Well, I'm not into it. But speaking of wrestling, since Tennessee fans have embraced this baseball team's heel persona,
right?
And we're all feeling that. It's fun to be the hunted, the hated, the team that everybody wants to take down, right? It's enjoyable. We have prepared a special jam or not a jam for Tony Vitello today on the show. And we have 5 wrestling entrance theme songs. And I know what you're thinking. Like, most of those theme songs are pretty good, right? Most of them are jams.
There's, uh-huh.
You can't think of many that aren't jams, but I was able to find – I think there will be some giving forth, some debate, some back and forth over these. So we have another themed jam or not a jam coming up in hour number 3 with Tony Vitello. Looking forward to that one.
That's going to be great. I'm definitely excited for that.
Today, people are all abuzz on the interwebs about Waffle House. You see this guy?
Yeah, I did.
This is actually a pretty creative fantasy football punishment. So there's some guy down in Brandon, Mississippi, who finished dead last in his fantasy football league this past year. And as punishment, he had to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. But the catch was, for every waffle that he ate, he could subtract 1 hour from the 24 hours. And I think he ended up eating 7 waffles. He could not get the eighth down. It was 7 or 5. I can't remember. He couldn't get he had the next one and his body just shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't pace himself. There's no way I would be in there any later. If I went in there at 8 a.m., I'm staying no later than midnight. I'm eating at least 8.
So you think you could eat 8 waffles?
Over the course of 16 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could probably eat 1 an hour.
For 16 hours? I mean, for 8 hours. But how? For 12 hours, it would...
Yeah, go 8 to 8.
Just 1 waffle an hour? See, I think...
There's a key to it, though.
Well, I think the key is basically starving. You're going in there really hungry, and I think you just slam as many as you can. Like, go in there and eat 4 or 5 waffles, and then try and take a nap or something. I don't know if you can bring in a sedative.
Yeah.
But
just eat 1 an hour.
Eat as many waffles. Well, then you're committing to 12 hours. I want to get out of there as soon as possible.
You aren't. There's just.
I think I could eat more than 12. I would hate myself. I would feel sick, but I think I could do it.
Well, that's kind of where my first thought went to. You said you'd feel sick. I feel like this guy probably yacked at some point. Like, he probably barfed. Yeah.
That was part of the rules. But you could, though.
He went out into the bushes. And
in a very gross way, I think I would try to factor that into my plan. Clear your stomach.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you'd have to.
I would ask for 2 stacks of 12.
I think that's a big mistake. He made a big mistake, too, right out of the gates, because he documented this entire process on Twitter. And so people were following along with him. He got out of there like earlier this morning around 10:30 a.m. and spent, 16 or so hours in that Waffle House. But he took pictures of when he first arrived there and his first couple of waffles, and he just slathered them up in butter and syrup.
That's probably what, at least 400 to 600 extra calories?
Yeah.
Sugar you're just pumping into your system?
And I get it, right? I mean, Waffle House waffles are delicious, especially when slathered in butter and syrup. Nobody goes in there and eats waffles plain. But if you're in a competition and you're trying to get out of there, I mean, who wants to – listen, I love the Waffle House. I've had many a great meal at the Waffle House. Truth be told, I'd rather be at the Waffle House than in here with you guys right now. But I never want to spend more than an hour in the Waffle House, okay? I want to go in there – get my grub on, and I want to get out. If I've spent more than an hour in the Waffle House, something's gone drastically wrong, a long wait, something like that, I don't know.
You're having a good time.
So
how many did you say this guy finished?
I have to go back and look it up. It was either 5 or 7. When he got to his 6th or 8th, I can't remember which one, he just shut down.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he, because I'm following the thread here, and he said that he was at 6 waffles down at 6 hours in. So by my estimation, that would be 18 hours left remaining on the total time.
I think he got 7 waffles down, and I think like through the 8.
So for the final.
And he only had 1 square, right? Do you guys cut your Waffle House waffle into 4 quadrants?
No.
No?
No.
I absolutely. No?
No.
I can finish a Waffle House waffle in roughly 35 seconds.
I can eat them pretty quickly too, but I always go 4 quadrants. I cut them into 4.
Like layered?
Not
them?
At once. I take
you're
a
on
fourth,
the spectrum.
I take a fourth out, and I eat it in 2 or 3 bites.
Yeah.
And that's how I roll.
Use toothpicks too, Russ?
For what? After the meal?
To eat your waffle?
No.
That's so weird. So weird.
No, I think it's weird that you don't.
I go left
to right.
I roll
it up like a
All right, let's roll it up.
What, you roll it up?
Put your syrup in there and you just roll it up.
You're rolling it up like a Doobie at a Dead concert, but I'm the weirdo?
Yeah. And then you just inhale the damn thing.
All right, we're putting the poll in the field.
You're both kind of weird. But honestly, Bear especially, but I just go left to right like I'm reading a book. It's not, I don't mess with it too much. I just start on one side, and then inevitably, I finish on the other side. I feel like that's how most people would do it.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Rusty Enzer. We'll revisit this. We're putting the poll in the field. I think that well over 50% of the audience cuts their Waffle House waffles into quadrants as they give it to you.
No,
I feel like that's
they don't.
The only way
that's
to go.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
All right, we'll see. Stay with us. The drive continues. Rusty Enzer coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The drive.
All right, Bear. 25 votes cast.
Right.
Very early, 1% of precincts reporting. Do you cut your Waffle House waffles into four quadrants as you eat them?
That's the weirdest thing you've ever said to me.
52% of the audience says, yes, of course.
That's your fan, boys.
Okay.
Let's not waste time with that. We got baseball legend Rusty Enzer.
I guarantee you, Rusty is a quirky guy. And I know he loves him some Waffle House, so I know he's got a strong opinion on this.
Enzer ain't cutting his waffle into quadrants.
Rusty? First of all, good afternoon.
Well, thank you, Russell. Great to be on with you and Bear. Yes, you are correct about one thing. I do like the Waffle House. As a matter of fact, I took my mother there one year for Mother's Day because that's where she wanted to go. But you know what? I have never had a waffle at the Waffle House. But I do get him scattered, smothered, and covered.
I told you he's a quirky guy.
Never?
Never gotten a waffle at the Waffle House.
How does that happen?
I'm just not a waffle guy.
Do you stay away from the pancakes at IHOP, too?
You know, I'm just pretty much. I mean, I'm just
maybe Rusty's not a sweet
bacon
breakfast.
And eggs. I'm a meat and potatoes guy, so I'm bacon and eggs.
Blue collar, Russ.
Oh, yeah, that's Blue Collar Enzer with us here. About 44 votes cast. It's now 50-50.
But can I tell you this, Russell?
Yes.
At the Waffle House in Fayetteville, Arkansas, when I was doing a Tennessee and Arkansas game years ago, I did eat after the game. The game was – we had a rain delay, and the only thing open in Fayetteville was the Waffle House. So I went there with Kessling and the late Jeff Jacoby and polished off three steak and egg meals.
The three of you all, or you and you both?
No, just me.
You ate three steak and egg meals in one sitting?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
knowing that you were going back to the ballpark to do a game?
Oh, no, that was after the game, and so we did a game the next day.
So three steak and egg meals? What are you doing, Rusty?
Is your cholesterol like 2,000?
You have your cardiologist on speed dial?
what were Kessling and Jacoby doing? Just staring at you?
Pretty much in amazement.
Don't get your hands near his mouth, everybody. You'll be fine. Just
touch my food.
Rusty, we made it. The Vols are back in Omaha. I have the same feeling right now that I used to get before we played Florida or Bama in football back when we were good.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Are you nervous?
It's incredible. I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely disappointed that I can't go, but I have talked to a ton of people that I know who are going, and I think there's going to be a ton of Tennessee Orange at TD Ameritrade. It's going to be an exciting day on Sunday afternoon. And Russell, what better way, and Bear, what better way to spend Father's Day watching a little Tennessee baseball in the College World Series? I mean, and then when it goes to commercial between innings, flip over and watch the U.S. Open. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
What better way to celebrate Father's Day than breaking out the pink daddy hat and passing that thing around a couple of times?
Well, that's a big ballpark at TD. I hope Tennessee gets the opportunity to break out that pink daddy hat. But I think home runs might be a little hard to come by. But, I mean, hey, Tennessee can bang it around the yard, and I'm sure they'll hit their share. But I don't think it's going to be anything like what we saw at Lindsey Nelson for the regional and super regional. I don't think it's going to be home run derby.
Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about the ballpark size at TD Ameritrade. It's obviously a lot bigger, different climate out there. I'm not sure how that figures into it. But the way I look at it, Rusty, you tell me if you agree, disagree, Tennessee had the best ERA in the SEC this year, pitching in that quote-unquote launching pad of Lindsey Nelson Stadium. So I look at it as, you know, there are two sides to it. Maybe the home run numbers, maybe the power numbers down a little bit for the Vols this weekend, but the pitching, which has been good, should be even better.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a pitcher's park, no doubt, Russell. And I think that'll help Tennessee because Tennessee is a staff, and you guys can look this up real quick because I haven't checked stats lately, but Tennessee gave up a lot of home runs this year too. They were in the top three of the most in the league. But that's okay. I'm sure they gave up a lot of solo home runs. I haven't broken it down or anything like that. But, you know, the bottom line is they won the East. They finished runner-up in the SEC tournament and won a regional and super regional and going to the College World Series. So it doesn't really matter what the stats say. They're one of eight teams that have a chance to win the national championship, which is pretty phenomenal to say.
How about this stat? Somebody hit us up with this, and I believe Rick confirmed it. Three of the last four teams to bounce LSU in the NCAA tournament went on to win the College World Series.
Well, I mean, I'm a big karma guy, for sure. And, you know, all baseball players are superstitious, so that's a great stat. And I'm going to keep that in mind for the next, hopefully, week and a half.
Now,
that's a good one.
I said three out of four, right? So the one team that did it, LSU in 20, or I'm sorry, Vanderbilt in 2019.
Yeah.
So the last team. Yeah.
I mean, here's the scary part. I mean, we may have to beat Vanderbilt to win the national championship.
If Tennessee and Vanderbilt make it to the championship series, I mean, I feel like I know you're not a Twitter guy, Rusty, and God bless you. You made the right choice on that one. But I feel like that would it would be Armageddon for the Volunteer State. a civil war, man.
I mean, what does that say about the state of Tennessee for college baseball? I mean, that would be phenomenal. Now, listen, we've got a ton of work to do before you even think about a week from Monday, you know, when the championship series starts. We're going to have to get through a lot of good teams. I mean, Texas, you know, listen, Virginia is a good team. They're playing some really good baseball right now. Now, I don't care who you play to get into the Supers or get into the College World Series or anything like that. I mean, Virginia, you know, South Carolina's not that good, but they won that regional, beat Dallas Baptist. Yeah, okay. But listen, you still got to play the game. You know, every team is good if you get in the tournament, and anything can happen. Any team can get hot. So let's not start talking about playing Texas on Tuesday because we have to beat Virginia on Sunday. What? I sound like a coach, don't I? But it's true.
One game at a time.
One game at a time. And the other thing too, for the listeners and everybody, you know, this has been a super hyped year with Tony Vitello and the team and making it and so forth. You know, this doesn't happen often, and it's hard to it's extremely hard to have a sustained winner consistently in college baseball. I mean, look at, you know, Florida was the preseason number one ranked team. Well, they didn't make it out of their regional at home, and Arkansas was consistent number one for the last probably half of the season. They lost in the Supers to a North Carolina State team that I thought was average at best. So, you know, it's hard to get to the NCAA tournament, and it's hard to win, even harder to win the College World Series. I've said this many times on your show. I think it's harder to win the SEC regular season championship than it is the College World Series. But let's enjoy it. Think back to teams like Ole Miss and LSU who are typically in the tournament and are typically playing in regional and super regionals. I mean, Ole Miss has been to the College World Series one time in Mike Bianco's 20 years. One time. And they're always – and I think he's played in six supers. So he's, what, 1-5 in super regionals? I mean, it's really, really hard. So let's enjoy it. Don't expect it every year, but if, as long as you're competitive and in the tournament, you got a chance to win it.
You think Bianco gets the call from LSU? It sounds like, I know they're kicking the tires on the East Carolina guy as well.
You know, I don't know how old Cliff Godwin is, and he was an assistant under Paul Maneri at Notre Dame and at LSU for a while. In fact, he was an assistant under Mike Bianco at Ole Miss before he got the East Carolina job. Mike Bianco is a little younger than I am, and, you know, I just don't think he's going to get that job. I think it's going to go to Cliff Godwin or – I mean, I sure hope they don't keep calling Tony, but I mean, they could keep calling him. They could.
You mean keep calling him? You think
keep calling him.
They've been calling
him? I'm sure they have.
All right, as long as he keeps telling them no.
Yeah. But I mean, you're talking about big fan base, big history. But here's the thing. I've said before. You know, if Tony ever had interest in LSU, you're always going to be compared to Skip Bertman and Paul Maneri. But if he stays here, he'll be compared to Rod Delmonico for a while. But he has a chance to be the Skip Bertman of Tennessee baseball. You know, if he stays here for 20 years, so let's hope he does that.
Rusty Enzer with us this afternoon, VFL and now former SEC Network and ESPN College Baseball commentator. Rusty, you said you have some new thoughts, ideas on the Lindsey Nelson Stadium renovation that hopefully is getting set to get underway this offseason.
Well, they need to hurry, that's for sure, to do something. But when I went to the Super Regional game on Saturday, and for me personally, those were the most people I've ever seen in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And when I walked in the main entrance, I mean, that concourse was packed with people. I mean, I felt like I was at a Rolling Stones concert or something like that. But, and I thought to myself, and I've said this before on your show, and I thought this, we could take the footprint of Lindsey Nelson and add some suites and a new press box and fill it out down the left field line and we're good. Well, I walked in there, that concourse is built not for 4,000 people. Yeah. It's built for 400 people. And if you think about it, you know, think about Smoky Stadium and all these newer stadiums that have been built. You go up in the concourse to the concession stand to get a hot dog or a beer or peanuts or whatever you're getting, and you can turn around and see the field. Well, you can't do that at Lindsey Nelson. You know, I would like to see the university, instead of spending $25 million and doing the footprint, just do it right and just start over and spend $50 million and make it a show place. And there's no reason to halfway do it. I mean, if Kentucky can do it, we can do it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Gabriel, our friend from out in Fresno, who is a regular guest on the show and a huge Vol fan, I mean, he said the same thing. It's like, look, I know there are challenges. I know it's a difficult time. I know football is all messed up. It's a new AD and everything, but – go big. Like, let's not nickel and dime this thing. I mean, let's do it right. And I know it's not my money. It's easy to say, but I tend to agree with you guys, Rusty, the easy thing is just extend it down the left field line, do the double decker porch, some luxury suites like that. But my thing is, what does the comprehensive plan look like? Where does it? What do we want that stadium to be in 10 years if Tony Vitello is still here and we become a dominant force in college baseball?
Yeah, and here's something else I don't know. The street out in front of the stadium, I don't know, does the city own that street? Does the university own that street? I would assume that the city owns it. I mean, can we close that street? Let's just close it. I mean, there's no reason to have that. You can just go down Lakeland Boulevard if you want to go around. And that way you can use that extra area to make a more of a of an entrance, because we really don't have an entrance. I mean, look at some of the stadiums that are impressive, like Texas A&M has and LSU has a really nice kind of a concourse type entrance. We don't have that. And unless you can gain more ground, there's still no way to get it. So I don't know what the logistics are as far as legalities and things like that, but that's what I would do. I would certainly check into that. I'm sure they have. There's some smart people over there on the Hill.
Sure.
But I mean, listen, this is Tennessee's chance if they want to go big in baseball and make it a revenue-producing sport. Here's your opportunity. We've been trying to find this for how long, and it hadn't worked, and now it's on the verge of working. And I think if you can make that work, you've got a coach, I think, who would probably commit to something long-term. I mean, they had did you, Russell, watch any of the Mississippi State
yes.
Super Regional?
Oh, that ballpark, it's incredible. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the same location as the old Duty Noble, but they basically gutted it and started over.
Let's do that.
They had over, in a three-game series, they had over 40,000 people there. 40. I'm not great in math, but, I mean, that's a little less than 15K per game. That is phenomenal.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the atmosphere for those games. I mean, the atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson was fantastic, but that was better. I mean, it was pretty, and you know, Notre Dame struggled with it at times. I thought.
I mean, you know, Notre Dame's a team that I didn't see play the entire year, but you know, those guys were scrappy. They were good. They were really good, and certainly had some chances to win it. That big guy hit that home run out of the ballpark.
Oh,
Nico, what was his last name? I don't think that ball's landed yet. I mean, he absolutely crushed it.
No, there have been some moonshots. How about the dude from NC State that hit the winner off Copps at Arkansas?
We've seen some phenomenal play in the tournament for sure, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more, the next week and a half in Omaha, but I just hope they do it right. And listen, Tony knows. I mean, you know, he coached 4 years at one of the premier stadiums at Arkansas. They got a bunch of suites, and they do it right there. They're rowdy. They have a good time. And I think people who came out and were fortunate enough to get a ticket had a really good time. I mean, if they improve the stadium, Russell, I'm going to buy season tickets. I mean, I've bought a season ticket in baseball in my life.
But you're not in the media anymore. You got to be a paying customer now, just like the rest of us.
I know it's going to cost me. I can't just get a pass anymore, like you important people. But I just hope they do it right. I really do. And it's going to take some commitment, and it's going to take some a little bit of a gamble, because you're right. I mean, football is the most important thing to get it right, but it's going to take some time. Basketball is in pretty good shape. You get basketball and baseball, you know, kind of rolling. That takes a little bit of pressure, I think, off of the AD when it comes to football.
Sure. I've been saying for a week or two now that, you know, if Danny White can go out there and have the announcement where he signed Vitello to a long-term deal and put out the plans, hey, this is our vision for the ballpark, in my opinion, that'd be his first big win since being the athletics director here. And he hasn't had that yet. He's only been here he hasn't had the opportunity for it yet, obviously. But the football thing is going to take a couple of years. I'm sure you know everything that's going on there.
Sure.
That's not a situation that's going to be resolved anytime soon. That's a 2 to 5 year rebuild, obviously. So if he could have that announcement sometime shortly after the season, look, we've signed up Vitello. We've opened up the checkbook. He's one of the highest paid coaches in the country. We've locked him in. And this is what we're going to do with the stadium. I feel like that would be the first time that he'd be able to stand up there and beat his chest a little bit.
Yeah, and I think they need to do – I mean, they need to have plans. They need to have some sort of construction going on or something pretty quick to prove to Tony that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because he's got to have something to show recruits. But, I mentioned this earlier about the LSU job, and you know, I'm not speculating. I have no inside information. I was just driving back to the office today, and I was thinking, you know, the longer this LSU thing drags out, I get more worried every day. Because why would they not name a coach? If they're truly after Bianco or Godwin, why would you not announce one of these guys? Nothing's holding them back. So that just makes me really nervous. But they also could be looking at somebody else that's in the tournament as well, another coach that's in the tournament.
Oh, Rusty, why'd you have to say that? Now I'm a little nervous too.
Maybe they're trying to get Tim Corbin to come down there. I don't know. You know, Bobby Pierce is at Texas. He was at Tulane for a number of years. When I did a regional, I don't know, 2015 maybe, at LSU, and Bobby Pierce was the coach of Tulane who was in that regional. Of course, he's got it rolling pretty good at Texas, but you know, maybe they're waiting on somebody like him, to possibly talk to or look at. I don't know, but it just makes me nervous the longer they wait.
Yeah, yeah. I see it from Tony's perspective too. Is every passing day his bargaining position goes up, right? If he wins a national championship, whatever offers on the table, they're going to have to rip that up and do it over again, right? So from his perspective, it's you might as well wait until it's all over and get everything you can out of it. So hopefully that's what's happening.
I remember when Todd Rawley was hired as head coach here, I guess Mike Hamilton was the AD, right? Was Mike the AD then?
Yes.
I remember Mike saying that we want to announce that right before the College World Series because everybody's attention's on college baseball. And, I mean, you have to go back and look at the exact date, but I want to say it was the Friday before the College World Series started. So.
Yeah, I remember that. Rawley came on, he said, we want to play gorilla ball.
That's right.
Gorilla. Right. It was more like chimpanzee, but I don't know what it was. It was monkey business for sure.
Todd had some good hitters. He just didn't have any pitching. But he had. I mean, Cody Hahn was. He played on that team. You know, Cody Hahn, he had 3 home runs in a game for Todd Rawley.
Has anybody else done that at UT?
Just a couple of people. Todd Helton did it. Evan Russell did it twice this year.
He did.
You know that?
I was teasing Rusty. I was seeing if you would take the bait. And
I saw your jersey out there on TV, Rusty. The ends are named shining proudly from the outfield wall.
Yeah, right. I don't have a jersey out there. There's no way that would happen unless I went out there and spray painted the night.
They painted something. They had your name wherever it is hanging up.
They did not.
They did too. I swear to you.
Well, they show your picture on TV now a lot, your playing days picture.
If anything, you know, I went down and met Evan Russell, and he's a great kid. And I told him, I was like, you have brought back so many memories for me. He made everybody think that I was a decent player, but that's been a long time ago. But he's a great kid. And I was, you know, he's a great kid. And to do it twice is very phenomenal. I mean, that's incredible. But you know, it's been a fun year, and I hope they win some games in Omaha. I hope they stay there a while.
Rusty, always a pleasure. Hopefully, we can get you on again next week and preview that championship series. The Tony Vantello, there was an issue with that.
Did you have a bad carburetor?
Something happened there, but we're hoping we might have a replacement, and if we do have. Another vehicle to go out. We'll have a spot for you for that championship series next week if you're up
Russell,
for it.
Russell, in a perfect world, you will call me a week from Monday, and I will be talking to you when Tennessee is getting ready to play game one of the championship series from Omaha. That would be the perfect world.
How about this? Perfect world. We'll be doing
drive.
The,
you're doing the show from Omaha, calling, and I'll be on set in Omaha with you.
We're live from a sports bar or wherever we can do the show, and you're sitting in with us. We're hanging out.
Boy, if that happens, that'll be phenomenal for both of us.
Absolutely. Rusty.
But I'm not taking that van out there with you guys. I'll fly. I'll meet you there, okay?
No doubt.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll see what happens Sunday in Omaha.
Happy Father's Day, buddy. Talk to you later.
Appreciate that. You too. Rusty Enzer making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Phenomenal stuff right there.
I swear they had the back. It was painted. I don't know what it was painted on. But it was, I don't know, maybe it was a graphic, but it was the guys that have done that feat. I saw Enzer.
He's got me fired up about the whole, I mean, he's on the Christopher Gabriel bandwagon about, man, don't nickel and dime this thing, man.
Just do it. It's a capital investment. Make the investment.
Basically tear it down and start over and do it a $50 million brand new stadium. I don't know where we would play next year. I mean, it'd have to be Smokies Park, right? I mean, that's the only.
We can't. They couldn't play.
Yeah, you can't play in Sevierville for a whole season. Or maybe you could. Maybe we turn that into a thing. We just put the team up in a hotel there and do online classes. And just, I mean, that would be a Tony Vitello type thing, man. It's like, yeah, we're playing in a different city this year. And you know what? The fans would go out there, man, and sell that ballpark out on the reg.
Probably, yeah.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive. So you're watching.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Rusty Enzer. This show's off to a pretty good start. I don't know how we could screw it up. I'm sure it's possible. We're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but two segments in,
why are you trying to jinx us?
Two segments in, I'm feeling pretty good. I've got a story that I'm going to share coming up a little bit later.
This should be interesting.
I didn't even say anything about it. Like, why? It might not be. It might be terrible. All I said is I've got a story.
Something happened at the house last night.
No.
Somebody pissed you off?
No.
What'd I do?
No, nothing. It's a non-bear-centric story. It happened right here on Fan Run property several hours ago. Yeah.
Whoa. No. I didn't really notice anything out of place when I came in today.
Are we going to be beefing with another show?
Oh, I love that.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
You sure?
But it's, I don't know. Somebody was a little shook up around here. That's all I'll say. I'll leave it at that. All right. I am thoroughly stunned and bewildered at some of y'all out there who have no respect for the laws of decency and Southern hospitality. Earlier, we asked the question, do you cut your Waffle House waffles into four quadrants as you eat them? Everybody knows, right? The Waffle House, the waffle comes, it's got the four sections, right? It's got that design on it or whatever. I just kind of felt like this was normal behavior, just like the guy in the story today who had to spend 24 hours minus an hour for every waffle that he could eat inside the Waffle House. He cuts his into quadrants. I just thought that's what you do. Apparently not. 182 votes cast at Russell_Smith on Twitter. Do you cut your waffles into four quadrants as you eat them at the Waffle House? 60% of the audience says no. 40% of you are doing it the right way. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah, okay.
This isn't non-bear. There are rules.
We told you shouldn't be surprised.
I shouldn't be.
That number is going to drop too. It's going to end up probably, I'd say, being around in the 30s.
Well, I mean, I rounded up. It's already at 39.6%, but it might be. It might be. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show here this afternoon as we break it down. Coming up, hour number two, Bobby Mays is going to join the show. Hour number three, Tony Vitello is going to join the show live from Omaha. Rusty's got me fired up. I mean, do you think there's any real consideration on UT's part about just
tearing down
that grandstand? And
probably not.
The one thing I've wondered is that press box, when they built it in the early 90s, it was cool. It was state-of-the-art. Now it looks so rinky-dink and small-time compared to everything else that's out there. And you've got to tear that down and do something else, right?
Probably.
It's got to go all the way around the main part of the stadium. You've got to have some luxury suites up there in addition to a better press box. And like Mark Nagy, I'm no George Costanza. I'm no architect. I don't know what that entails. It seems to me it's going to be pretty hard to knock all that down without damaging the rest of the ballpark. Like, if you're going to get into that, you might as well just go ahead and tear down the grandstand. Because he's right. I noticed that too when I went to the Vanderbilt series, which was still – that was not full capacity because of the COVID thing. And when I went in that main entrance before the ball game, it was packed. I mean, people are shuffling around there like sardines. I can't imagine what it was like this past weekend. Rick, did you go down there in the main concourse when it was
yeah.
full?
Yeah, okay, so especially when there was the rain delay. Right, and they
crowded down in
they
there.
They asked everybody to move, and sure enough, a lot of people didn't move, partly just because it
There's
wasn't
no
too bad, but the other reason is because you can't move anywhere. I mean, they were not prepared to send, you know, those thousands of people into one covered place. And so not only for an emergency reason, but yeah, just walking around, getting to the bathroom, going to see a friend, going to grab a drink, it's tough to move around.
Yeah, I wonder if that changes the calculus any on their parts of as far as, man, we're going to be looking at bringing in 6, 7, 8,000 people, whatever, to this place. We got to have a better system in place in case, and what, God forbid, there's an emergency, there's a fire or something, people got to move quickly, or there's a lightning delay. We need to be able to shelter people
Absolutely.
A little bit better and a little bit faster than they are under the current setup.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was one of the things I had thought about when Rusty was talking about it. But again, it's also kind of one of those things that you don't really notice until that situation comes up. I mean, if it was really thunderstorming and you really need to get undercover, yeah, like there would have been nowhere to go.
Well, from the perspective of now, at least they've thought about that. If they hadn't already, it hopefully they realized that. And hey, man, this is just something we got to consider as we try and draw up a master plan for Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Sam on Twitter says, when Bama built their new stadium, they played all their games in Hoover for a year. No reason Tennessee couldn't play in Kodak for a year while building a new stadium. That is a good point. They played in Hoover, which is a suburb of Birmingham. I believe that's about an hour drive away from Tuscaloosa, which is longer than Kodak would be. So, I mean, it could be done. I mean, it's not ideal, but it's something we can ask Tony. It's like, look, man, if they promised you a brand new ballpark and whatever your heart's desire, we're going to build this awesome new park and we're going to include everything in it, would it be worth it to you to spend a year playing in Sevierville? Lots to talk about, lots to discuss. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
The Drive.